morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, we have farmers markets to talk about today. And of course, the big one that the Master Gardeners are involved with is at Artovino's Desert Crossing in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And those happen every Saturday from 7:30 in the morning to 12 noon. And the Master Gardeners present garden talks every Saturday morning.
They do at 8:30 out in the patio. You'll see the Master Gardeners giving a little nice informal talk to a nice group of people out there. So if you have something that you're interested in attending, check out their information table. You'll see the list of calendar events posted on the particular garden talks. And also, every week when they're out there, they do man an information table. So if anybody has any questions or wants to share some photos of some plant problems that they're having, they'll be more than happy to help you answer your questions. I think it's great to have a combination of a live sample and a photo and, you know, just have that conversation going, because there's sometimes a little bit more to the story in the back that we need to be able to know so that we can help you find that out.
And we have that issue when we have some of our live shows as well, because, you know, if somebody calls in with a question and it's sometimes really hard to answer that particular question in a minute or two, because you do need to sort of have some follow-up questions to learn a little bit more about where that problem materialized in the first place.
Right, exactly. It's not just ever one question. It's always a story. You know, so I always ask people, tell me about your plant. They start telling me, and I just kind of pick up on those clues, and we kind of go from there. So,
well, if you're interested in knowing what's coming up on the Garden Talks at Artovino's, I have the schedule for July posted on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org, as well as a neat little picture of Bill Hooten, our sometime co-host, who's not here today, who was presenting a garden talk just a few weeks ago. And another farmer's market that's happening, that's opening today, is the farmer's market at Mercado Mayapan. That's at 2000 Texas Avenue. And it's from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. Now, every Saturday, just opening today. And they're offering a lot of fresh produce for the residents of the Chamizal neighborhood, as well as for the rest of the community. And again, those are happening every Saturday, 8 to 3, 2000 Texas at Mercado Mayapan. And then on Sundays, the Growers Market up in Las Cruces on El Paseo Road is taking place at the Mountain View Market. So that's a lot of farmers markets for our listeners to be taking advantage of. And it's really nice how they're sort of spread across a good part of the region.
Right, exactly. And it's not just fresh and local produce that you're talking about also. It's also foods and
crafts
as well. So it's really an entire cultural experience, I think, at farmers markets. So,
well, today we are going to be talking about trees and turf. And I think this is a subject that our listeners really can't get enough of, because we have so many questions from listeners who have issues with their trees and their turf. And Denise, you were saying right before the show that people have been going in with giant branches off of their trees, showing you an example of what's wrong with their tree. And they want to know what the issue is. And what have you found that tends to be the primary issue of these tree problems?
Well, usually when I see these branches that come in general, either the plants, the leaves attached to them look nice and healthy, which is a really good sign. And the ones that are empty and don't have any leaves on there are just dead. And I think people don't realize the severity of the problem until it becomes very obvious, because in a lot of these cases, these trees are mature in size. And the branches that are having this dieback are the smaller ones in girth. So until you have enough leaves falling off or enough dry branches for you to notice, I mean, that condition that the plant has been for a very long time, in some cases several seasons. And I know that we've talked about this in the past with our freeze in 2011, but even before that, we've been in a drought. So we have all of these compounded effects going on, and these problems are just obvious to homeowners at this point, but they've been going on. The really good thing that I found on a lot of the trees that have come in to the office lately, I've seen mesquite trees, I've seen Mexican elders, I've seen ash trees. They all look great. I see no signs of borers on these samples at all. And as if you remember, the borers, you'll see those exit holes coming off of out of the branches. They look very clean as far as the leaves. I don't see any pests attacking them. But it's really just that dieback. So as I'm talking to the homeowner and I kind of look at the branches and I start kind of snapping the twigs on there, and you can see like, there's just no evidence of any kind of green material in that bark at all. So we just kind of travel that down and see exactly where that point is. So what I'm trying to say is that it's really an issue as far as irrigation and watering is really what I've been seeing lately on that. And I think sometimes we think our sprinklers are providing enough water. That's true in case maybe for your turf, but it's not going to be for your trees. And we do recommend that you do water your trees, not very often, but when you do, you water those deep. And I remember Oscar mentioned his great little technique of using the screwdriver, you know, a 12-inch screwdriver, and kind of poking around the drip line of the tree and seeing when that's dry. You want to make sure that you hit that with enough water because, you know, you need to go far enough depth into the soil to be able to get those little feeder roots to be able to pick up that water as well. So it's really a combination of going back and looking to see at your irrigation scheduling and your routine to be able to, you want to save these trees. They're obviously an investment. Water them deeply, even if you have to supplement that with a garden hose.
Well, you were mentioning our talk with Oscar Messes that we had here a few weeks ago. And that conversation, by the way, is archived at ktep.org on the Good to Grow page. So if you're interested in learning a little bit more about trees from the tree expert here in the region, it's online. So you can listen to that show and listen to that technique that he was talking about with the screwdriver. And one of the other things that Oscar mentioned on those shows that we did with him a few weeks ago was that, again, like how you said, a lot of the evidence of decay or of dryness or of disease that you're seeing on the tree, those result from perhaps damage that had been done to the tree seasons ago. It's not just the watering season that's going on right now. We've been in a prolonged drought, like you said. We had that freeze about a year and a half ago, and maybe your tree didn't die, but maybe it did suffer damage. And with the heat that we're getting in the drought, the combination of all of it is really going to be having probably an effect that's just barely rearing its head now.
Right, exactly. And I think that it's better to be proactive and really get into your irrigation scheduling now, because once insects like borers attack, it's going to be a little too late. That tree's going to be in a very severe state of decay for them to be susceptible to those kind of borers. If you do end up with that problem, that remediation is very costly. It's time consuming, and it could pose, you know, a danger. I mean, if you have a large tree enough and you start losing branches. So you really want to look at that and see what you want for your landscape and really prioritize that and rank those trees, because it could get worse. Don't worry about fertilizing your trees. Start with water. Start with water is the best thing to do. On trees, especially the deciduous ones that lose their leaves in the wintertime, it's going to be kind of difficult to see which branches are dead or have kind of dropped their leaves on that. So even though the optimum time to prune is in the dormant season, but we always say if you have a branch that's dead, dying, or diseased, you can go ahead and take that out even during the active growing season,
and
like right now.
Like you were saying, you want to remove those also, because when you do have something that's decaying or dead, you're making your tree more susceptible to pests that may even further harm your tree. So if you can, or if you can hire somebody to get maybe some branches that are too far beyond your reach, you know, do so as soon as you can.
Yeah, because if they haven't leafed out now for the season, they're not going to. And I use it as an indicator. Is that tree getting better, or is it worse, or is it the same? And I wouldn't know until I take out those dead branches to really assess it.
Well, you were actually mentioning Mexican elders, and I think Mexican elders are kind of a unique tree here in the region, because they actually, from what I understand, go through two dormant seasons. It's not like your typical deciduous tree. It'll look really good maybe in the spring, and it'll look really good in the fall, but it'll have some really ugly moments in between. Like right now, they're probably not looking very good.
Right, exactly. And usually the evidence has pointed to Mexican elders not being heat tolerant. So it's not that they can't handle the drought or the water conditions. It's the actual heat. And as you know, it's that sunlight is very intense and it's for a very prolonged period of time. So that's why those Mexican elders characteristically get those crunchy leaves and they curl and then they fall off and they just they almost look like a real gnarly looking tree at this time of the year. But that's really what's going on with Mexican elders. It's the heat.
Yeah. So if your tree's looking like it's freaking out right now, don't worry about it just yet and see how it's looking like when the weather starts to cool off. It starts to look better. I don't think you have much to worry about.
Right.
You know, speaking of crunchy, a lot of people might have some crunchy lawns right about now. And I think if you were to ask people their priority of what do you have the most attachment to or what do you think you would be most concerned about that would be suffering in your yard, trees versus turf? I think most people would choose trees. And I think we hear about that more from our listeners who are more concerned about what's happening with their trees. But, you know, a lot of people might be seeing some dryness in their turf. And I think right about now, I think grub worms might be an issue.
They definitely are. You want to look at the grub worms. We always recommend that if you cut out 1 square foot of your shovel into the ground, kind of pick up that entire area in your turf and look for evidence of the grub worms. And these are going to be curly, thick, white looking worms. If you find 5 of those, then we do recommend that you would treat that with an insecticide for grubs. Other than that, anything below than that, we just kind of consider that going into your threshold level as far as creating a lot of damage on that. So that's really when we indicated to say it's time to hit it. And definitely those grub worms are going to come out and they're going to mature into what is commonly known as the June beetles on there. So they do some damage to the turf roots. There's also a lot of issues with weeds in turf. And those are primarily due to over or under watering. So sometimes if you see certain weeds sprouting up in one particular area, you might want to look at your irrigation system, make sure that there's no leaks or no cracks, because weeds are just like any other plant. They have preferences as far as their soil moisture. So ones that want a lot of water are going to be in the cracks. And if you have a lot of dry spots and only weeds growing in there, then those are favorable to those weeds that prefer that really dry soil.
And if you see a lot of dry spots in your yard, it might not necessarily be an indication that you have grub worms, right? Because if you have a dog like I do, you're going to see some dry patches in your yard, and that's because of the dog's urine. That's the high acid content, I guess, it's in the urine that's sort of killing off that grass. But if you got a Bermuda lawn, it's going to eventually fill itself in, and I wouldn't worry too much about those unless you are really concerned about how cosmetically, aesthetically pleasing your lawn may be.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, that's definitely part of that tolerance threshold. If you can forget about that you'll be okay. But yeah, most people just usually kind of add a little sprinkle of water on that in areas. I don't know. I think sometimes animals tend to go in one particular spot. So that kind of makes it easier for you to kind of like get a little dash of water in case that.
So it doesn't have time to burn it.
Right. It's having a time to burn. Exactly.
What about really quickly here in the time we have left, fertilizing? Should people fertilize their lawns right now?
If they didn't fertilize last month, then I would recommend that they fertilize this month. If you're okay early in the season, I would let it go.
Well, if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners about your trees, turf, or any other plant that may have issues, call the Master Gardener hotline at 566-1276, 566-1276. And a heads up, we will be here live in the studio taking your questions next Saturday. So we hope that you can gather them up and give us a call next week. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.